I don't want to go down the whole rabbit hole of AI and, you know, basically a lot of smart technology making choices for us, but it's making our lives easier and easier as time goes by. And we're starting to become more reliant on technology, and we're forgetting about our physical capabilities or how we need to challenge ourselves physically in order to stay sharp both mentally and, of course, physically.
And mentally. I mean, I think an aspect, a huge aspect of this is not just that you're getting out and moving your body, but you're doing it in a thoughtful way.
Right.
Like even just walking through nature, you're doing it in a thoughtful way.
Yeah.
When you're going to museum, you cannot sit in a museum and not be triggered by what you're seeing, like, or hearing even. So, I mean, it's a sensory experience that then inspires and sparks additional thinking.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are coming at you after a week of vacation. So just kind of a mindset that we're coming from. We're a little bit exhausted, but we're also, I feel like in a way I'm re-energized, but physically I'm just tired.
Right.
But we're going to talk about kind of how we moved and what we did on our vacation, our week-long vacation, and how we tried to stay active,
mm-hmm.
I'd say moderately active. And it's going to lead us into some interesting conversation about some things that health professionals are actually, they're kind of prescribing these sort of out-of-the-ordinary things.
Yeah.
Experiences, and they're just prescriptions you wouldn't expect a doctor to give you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it should be a fun discussion.
Absolutely.
And first off, we want to thank everybody who is joining us for the first time, as well as those people who have been listening to us. We ran into one of our friends, Katie, who said she feels like she gets to stay in touch with us on a regular basis because she listens to our podcast each week. So thank you, Katie. We miss you so much.
Yeah. And if you guys do listen to us on a regular basis, just let us know what you think about it by leaving us a rating review. And we will definitely mention you on a future episode. You guys can go to the Apple Podcast, iTunes, or to the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page and leave your thoughts and feelings about the podcast. We deeply appreciate that. So on to the training recap that Shannon so eloquently introduced. We were up visiting my family in Maryland, as you guys kind of heard last week when we talked about it during our whole week of training recaps. So while we were up there, we actually did pretty good. I was pretty proud of us about how we did, about staying active wise. I know you were probably a little bit better than I was. I know you did a little bit of yoga kind of one of the first days when we were at my brother's house.
I did a HIIT workout and I did some yoga.
Oh, okay, nice.
That day. Yep.
Nice.
And then I did a workout. I think I did a total of like 3 workouts, I would say.
Okay.
So, first off, we went to a wedding.
Yes. True.
So, and we don't sit on the sidelines at weddings.
Nope.
We are the people dancing alone on the dance floors, making everyone else uncomfortable.
Yep.
Not that we're like weird. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's just that no one else wants to dance.
Yeah.
We're still the ones that will
go out.
They don't
want to challenge us. Basically.
No.
They don't want to embarrass themselves
and
try to go up against our skills.
We're not bad dancers, but we're not trained at all. But I think it's just the fact that we both just love to dance.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of gotten over the fear, I think, of what people think about us.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, it's mostly family.
Mm-hmm.
So they've kind of already realized. A lot of the people at this wedding were at our wedding. So, in fact, there was one song the bride slipped in there just for us because of our wedding lip sync that you did for me.
Yep.
So, kind of awesome. But that was a intense workout.
Yep.
And that happened to be on one of the days that I did a HIIT workout and yoga too.
And then I know we did a joint workout on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
We did a little, I guess, led by Peloton, right?
Or yeah, the Peloton app. Yep.
So we did a little body weight workout, contained a bunch of lunges and inchworms to push-ups or plank walkouts to push-ups.
Full body, yeah.
Yep, and then some dead bugs, which I don't know if you were familiar with the dead bug.
I was not familiar with the dead bug.
The dead bug, like I'm just telling you while we were doing them, this is one of my go-to exercises, both at Tampa Strength and when I used to teach title kickboxing class. Always love the dead bug. Great core exercise. You guys Google dead bug right now, see how to do it, and start adding in. The beauty of it is that it's really good for anybody with lower back pain because you're not flexing your trunk like you would do for something like a sit-up. Yep. You're actually keeping your back nice and flat on the floor, and you're just kind of extending your legs and arms in order to require the core stability to keep and maintain them, you know, and either right above the ground or right above your head. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I would say if anybody has ever done the 100, which is, I believe, a Pilates technically. I don't know if it's unique to Pilates, but it's where you lie with your back down flat on the ground, and then you lift your legs straight up in the air so you get a 90-degree angle, and then you lift your shoulders off of the mat and extend your arms out like palms facing down, out along, like, just off the ground, but along your hips.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And then you angle your legs down to, you know, it could be anywhere from, like, a 75 to 45-degree angle. Like, the more ab strength you have, the more you can lower your legs. And then you exhale and you kind of pump your arms up and down with them straight, but you don't touch them on the ground. You just kind of like pump them a little bit up and down. You inhale five, exhale five, inhale five, exhale five. And you do that. It's called the 100 because you do the breathing. It's 100 breaths. Okay. So you do the whole, you do the whole round.
Sequence.
20 times.
Whatever it is. I guess, 10 times, right?
10 times,
And is this so it's like a modified V-up, I guess, almost?
So just like dead bug, your lower back is completely flat on the ground. And in fact, you want to make sure you only lower your legs as far as you can. It's the second you feel your lower back lift up from the ground, you've gone too far.
Yep.
So that is another really good if you have lower back issues. That was one of my go-tos. It's what the dead bug reminded me of.
Yep.
Only this was a totally different – there was definitely a coordination that you had to get with the dead bug that I hadn't experienced.
I'll tell you what's good apparatus to use to make the dead bug even more challenging, the stick.
Stick mobility,
dead bugs are awesome. So that was one workout. I know we did a joint workout. Another joint workout I think I would consider a workout, even though, I mean,
it was... Basically, most of the workouts we did were joint.
Yes, was the biking tour we took in D.C. So we had a little date night while we were up in Maryland. And
day, 24 hours.
Night and day. And then, so we booked a little kind of sightseeing bike tour in Washington, D.C. Wednesday morning. And we got there, you know, got introduced, got our helmets, got our bikes. And then we took the tour of 7 different monuments and memorials in D.C. It was a pretty easy ride. You know, it was only 4 miles because we would ride to one memorial, stop, get out, look around, then ride to the next one. So it wasn't very intense, but, you know, it was over 3 hours. So it was... You know,
we were moving basically those entire 3 hours.
Because, if we weren't on the bike, we were walking up steps.
Yeah, and if you've been to D.C., you know that the mall, which is that long strip, the Smithsonian's are bordered along the edge. You've got the National Monument on one end and the White House.
Yep.
And then you've got...
Lincoln Memorial, right?
Is it Lincoln at the very end of that one? You have this huge park, basically, and we basically did all the memorials within there for the most part.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a lot of open space, a lot of walking, a lot of stairs in some of them, but it was an awesome way to see. Like, I've been very lucky to have gone in eighth grade, if anybody else is with me, you went on your eighth grade field trip to Washington, D.C., and we spent a week there. And, I mean, we did a lot. Like, we did every memorial and, like, every – we did, like, every single Smithsonian. I mean, it was kind of a blur thinking back, but we really went to everything that was there at that time. They have since added several things.
Yeah.
But I had to learn a lot about them then, and that was a bus tour where you get on the bus and you go from one to the next to the next. I don't know, something about the buses and then, like, the being in traffic, it didn't give me any sense of the distance or space or, like, the real environment.
Mm-hmm.
But on the bike, you don't really have a choice because you're in it the whole time. And I feel like that is the way, if you're gonna experience DC, you know, the traffic sucks. So, like most major metropolitan areas, do the bike tour, because I think I'd recommend that to anybody who can bike.
Bike and Roll is what is the company. Yeah. I think Chicago and Miami they're in also.
Yeah, so. They have a few cities.
Right. Interesting. You listed off a few. Would be, you know?
Yeah.
But we'll Bike and Roll, guys. That's what we use. Bike and Roll DC. Yeah. But yes, highly recommend it because it's been forever also since I visited. I can't remember the last time.
Yeah, I went once as an adult, and I saw a lot of, like, the military-centric memorials.
Right.
Which is a lot of them, but I went to Arlington, which was cool.
Nice.
But, yeah, and I also went during cherry blossoms as an adult.
Yeah, I know. We just missed that. Trust me, I was looking at that. They do another tour for that too. But it's kind of interesting. We're talking about biking as that's what, you know, kind of finishing up our training recap. Now we're back home and getting back to our, hopefully to get back to our regular training schedule this week. We'll see. But it's interesting that we, you know, kind of ended on biking because our first story we're going to jump into is about how doctors in the UK are actually prescribing biking to their patients.
That's so cool.
So we found this article on one of our favorite websites, Mind Body Green, and this was from May of this year, and it was talked about how the Cardiff and Vale University Health Board in Wales launched a pilot program that equips general practitioners with six-month bike share memberships to dole out to their patients. Super cool concept because obviously their thought behind this is not only is biking a way for help people to kind of hit their weekly exercise goal that the UK government prescribes, and you know we have our goals here in the United States also, but it's a great way to help the environment. So it's a win-win.
Well, it's also part of the social prescribing.
Exactly. That's even more interesting. Yeah, even more interesting.
The fact that this has to be prescribed.
Yeah, and the social prescribing, as you said, is kind of their idea behind that, or in other words, is local and non-clinical services that get to the root cause of disease.
Mm-hmm.
Think something that we've kind of mentioned. We've mentioned that phrase, you know, getting to the root cause when we talk about functional medicine. So I feel this is definitely one of those concepts that falls under that umbrella, because a couple other practices that they have that include social prescribing would be to sending patients to museums.
Art therapy.
Yeah. Or another one that we've talked about.
So works,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, forest bathing. Like, tell people to take a walk.
Go out in nature. Take your shoes off, whatever you have to do, but go out and just be in nature.
It's interesting that we have to recommend this.
That's what I mean.
It's
like this you kind of think of, like, isn't this just part of our life? But it's not.
Yeah, we're getting to that point where people are totally removing themselves from, like, I don't want to call them basic, but activities, recreational activities that we used to do regularly.
Okay, so this is somewhat it's not really unrelated. So one of my scariest Disney movies that ever came along, and is absolutely an adorable movie, but it is one of the scariest films because I feel like it's the most realistic in where we're going, is WALL-E.
Yep.
Has anybody seen that movie?
I haven't, but I've heard people talk about it.
cute. This little robot is so adorable. He's the one of the last robots cleaning up trash on Earth because we destroyed the planet. And basically, all the humans went to live in outer space, and they left these little robots to basically care. And every once in a while, they'll send these other little, spacey robots down to check and see if life could be sustained, basically see if, the Earth was healing itself. And first off, amazingly, the Earth is healing itself, but it's been, decades. And people have been living and growing and, existing in outer space for that period. So what they've been doing is they've basically turned into these giant squishy balls of human that float around in hover chairs connected to computer screens. They don't interact. They don't do anything. Everything is like a commercialized advertisement. It's just constant selling to you, getting you to eat this drink, go and see, watch this particular movie or whatever. I mean, there's no actual real social interaction. They can't stand because all of their muscles have atrophied.
Yep.
I mean, when you think of the science behind this, it is so terrifying.
Right. It's it's supposed to be a parody, but it's not, or,
creepy beyond measure. And yeah, Wally raises the alarm with this other robot, Eve, and says, the Earth is habitable again, you can go back. And he basically starts kind of waking some of these people out of this comatose state that they live their lives in. And yeah, seeing them their legs are shorter. I mean, they've just evolved to be these just squishy brain travelers.
Right.
It's super creepy. That's what I think of when I think of this is being prescribed. It's please don't let, for the planet's sake and our sake, do not let this be our future.
Right. Now that we're to the point where you have to prescribe these things, it's crucial now more than ever that we have physical activity in our life. I don't want to go down the whole rabbit hole of AI and, basically a lot of smart technology making choices for us, but it's making our lives easier and easier as time goes by. And we're starting to become more reliant on technology, and we're forgetting about our physical capabilities or how we need to challenge ourselves physically in order to stay sharp both mentally and, of course, physically.
And mentally. I mean, I think a huge aspect of this is not just that you're getting out and moving your body, but you're doing it in a thoughtful way.
Right.
Even just walking through nature, you're doing it in a thoughtful way.
Yeah.
When you're going to a museum, you cannot sit in a museum and not be triggered by what you're seeing, or hearing even. So, it's a sensory experience that then inspires and sparks additional thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's kind of the connection. And they say how this is a holistic approach to medicine. And it is. It's addressing two very important components of your health, the mental and the physical.
Mm.
So the idea of social prescribing, it's sad that we kind of have to look at this. But in a way, I think it's also kind of progressive.
Right.
Because we've never really had doctors put the two together. They
right.
might give you a prescription. If you got anxiety, they're not going to say, go out and walk in nature. They're going to give you a drug.
Right.
And then if you are having some kind of, mental issue, they might, again, prescribe you a drug instead of saying, go to a museum and
right.
see what that triggers for you.
Yeah.
So kudos to the fact that they're trying something different. I'd be really interested to see if this makes its way over to
yeah.
the States.
I really hope so, because
I feel the pharmaceutical companies are not going to like this.
Yeah, and then I think it's got to be part, make it into the curriculum for med school also. I know it seems like common sense, but I think a lot of times, a lot of the time, doctors are kind of limited to what the education has provided them, you know. I mean, that's what I always hear people talk about nutrition. Doctors or general practitioners don't get a ton of education about nutrition. And, I mean, maybe we I don't know if we can actually see that link with the obesity mm-hmm. rates that exist nowadays. But I think it also has to do with, once again, you know, social media and the promotion and marketing of kind of processed food and whatnot, but that's another topic for another day. But we do want to stay on the social media topic and kind of the effect social media has on mental health, because there was another pretty cool topic or cool article I found on the HuffPost talking about how, and you kind of already knew about this,
yep.
how Instagram in Canada
I'd hope so.
Launched a, essentially, I guess, what would you consider this?
Not it's like a beta.
A beta program.
It's a beta version of their app.
Okay, well, look, you explain it. You have more experiences with this whole topic than I do.
So, if you are very in tune with social media, you may have heard this rumbled about, and I do mean rumbled because there's a lot of people who this is not going to make very happy. Instagram, they play with their user interface on their app. So, I mean, like, they've experimented with swiping left to scroll instead of up and down. And, you know, they've done a bunch of little tests, and sometimes they leak out to the public before there's like an official rollout. A rollout is where it's not a test anymore. It's just coming your way. And as soon as your phone gets to the point it needs to update its apps, you're going to get that version, whether you want it or not. So what Instagram is doing now, I guess, is that they're actually partnering with Canada, and they're actually going to beta a version of the Instagram app that doesn't have the likes attached to like your profiles and your posts as like a visible thing for everybody to see.
Right.
So like imagine you're scrolling through and, you know, it always says like, you know, one of your friends, usually someone you follow, and like 1 million other people or 10,000 yeah. or maybe it's 12 other people liked this post.
Right.
When you think about it, what does that really do? And you also, you see how many followers like people have. That's like another thing that Instagram's admitted that they want to just, a lot of the social channels actually, they want to get away from the followers people have on their profiles. Mm-hmm. They just want to do away with that because in reality, it doesn't mean much of anything unless, and this is where the rumbles come from because this is where I work most days. It's the marketing and like the influencers, the people who make money off of the likes, the followers they have, and the number of likes or engagements that their posts get.
Mm-hmm.
So Instagram's testing this in Canada where you don't see that like count. It's going to be hidden. I'm sure they'll have some way you can access it. I can't imagine they do away with it completely. They announced it during Facebook's big developer conference last month. Facebook rolled out a bunch of huge announcements as well. And so they've been really focusing more on the mental health side of social right. media because they've gotten so much flack.
So what it looks like is that I think they said, it says during the test, only you will be able to see the total number of likes on your posts. Yes,
right.
Exactly. So you'll be able to see your likes on your own post, but nobody else can see how many likes your post has.
Yeah, the outside world, they say, isn't going to be privy to the exact count of people who've liked a specific post. Mm-hmm. So if you are a marketer, if you're an influencer, the way that you rate content frequently is based off of the engagements. So you're looking for, well, what kind of posts do people really engage mm-hmm. with? But there's been a lot of discussion that that number is complete baloney.
Right.
I almost swore, but I didn't. Because there's a lot of like mental trickery that happens.
Well, there's a lot of fake accounts, right?
There's loads of fake accounts. Instagram and Facebook they really have been working for a while to get like, you know, minimize that. But there's still, like, there's a ton. There's, I mean, there's some people out there who just sell that stuff. They'll just go through.
I get a request every day to ask to buy likes. I get a request every single day.
And it's such a bad idea. It's like in terms of just
throwing money away, essentially.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, what are you paying for? But it's still, when you're talking about marketing analytics and the metrics that businesses are still very attached to, whether or not it's actually moving their bottom line, likes is a really big one.
Right.
So I'm actually really all for this personally. I'm really hoping that this works well because I think people see likes on posts. We know that that influences where posts get placed in people's feed because of the algorithms that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, they all use algorithms to find out. They try to deliver the content that's going to connect the most with you. So if they say, oh, you follow The Rock on Instagram. Oh, this post he's put up in, you know, yesterday has 2 million likes and, you know, this should be in the top of your feed. Meanwhile, your sibling or your friend who you really want to see has no followers, gets very little engagement, and good luck finding her stuff if you don't engage with her regularly.
Yeah, and I mean, that and it, you said, the majority, the vast majority of people who don't make money off Instagram, they're really becoming, it's affecting them mentally. That's what they talk about all social media, not just Instagram. And there's a great quote in this article. It says, a lot of people form their sense of self-worth from the amount of likes they get.
Yes.
And it's really sad. And there's a lot of recent studies that have been coming up that have been, you know, being published lately about the effect of social media on mental health. In fact, their last month, the American Psychological Association, we might have talked about this in the talked about the rates of depression, psychological distress, and suicidal thoughts and actions have risen significantly among people 26 and younger, with some of the highest among women. They link the rise to the increased time spent on social media, among other factors. And it's interesting because, as Shannon mentioned, it's almost like and they use this phrase in the article, the like culture. Like, everybody loves to go on Instagram and see how many likes they've got. And they attach their emotions to the number of likes a post gets.
Yeah, there's been movies that have kind of poked fun at it. They've had teenagers and stuff saying, like, oh my God, he hasn't liked my Instagram post yet. Like, you know, talking about some boy or something. And it's like, oh, I posted this like an hour ago and he hasn't liked my post. I'm pretty sure there's been songs where this happened. They like made fun of the fact that people were basing like, oh my gosh, if I don't get a certain amount of engagement or if certain person doesn't like my post, it means they don't like me.
Right.
And like that idea of connecting that self-worth to a like, but also, and this is, I'm not sure this is talked about anywhere, but I think there's a psychological thing where when you're scrolling through Instagram, and by all means, just test this out next time you're scrolling and see if this is true for you, but it's absolutely true for me. When you scroll through and you're looking at pictures, your eyes always drift down to the likes, and sometimes you don't really like a post. Like, it's kind of, you know, maybe it's like a celebrity. Maybe it's, you know, it's just something that looks like every other pretty photo. It's nothing that you personally really like. But because you look down at that little number that says, you know, some odd thousand people like this, including like these people you know, I like it anyways. Like, I hit the little heart, and it's just because it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe I don't like this picture, but, you know, everybody else really likes this picture, and I kind of want to just keep tabs on what everybody else likes, and there's something, like, about that number that influences me to press the like. I don't know the exact psychology of why, but it does influence me. that and the fact that I know it's the stuff you engage with that Instagram shows you. So it's weird.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I like this idea. And
you kinda, like it?
I do.
You like heart it?
How dare you?
Double tap. Let's talk about that.
But I do. I enjoy this idea because I think it's – and we talked about it at the beginning of the year. You brought it up, digital wellness. We have to start taking that more seriously, you know, and you were right predicting how that's going to be the big health trend of this year because we're seeing the studies come back about how detrimental it can be. But there is some – they even talk about this article about how great social media can do. It can start creating a sense of belonging for some people that are isolated. You know, but the key is to not only have these relationships through social media, but also start creating relationships in your real life, you know, actual relationships with physical people. You know, those are just as important. I think they're both important. Not saying you shouldn't have one opposed to the other. I think you should have both.
Yeah, you don't have to be a minimalist.
Yeah, you're going to learn different skills.
Yeah.
But it's good, and I'm kind of stealing this from the article, but they talk about how trying not to compare yourself to other people's is really the key.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes, my favorite president said that.
Mm-hmm. Name that president all.
Yep. You get a special prize if you win that president.
You win that president.
Here's
just a
president.
Tip. He's not alive.
No. All right. So I think that was great topics, and they really flowed together. I love the idea of prescribing bikes, a bike share program.
Oh, yeah. They actually have – we'll have some links maybe like in our social media and stuff because – they talk about the health impact specifically of biking, which, as you know, I'm an avid cyclist fan. So,
but these are like wellness topics that, you know, aren't in the whole, are not just, you know, like, hey, eat less carbs or eat less sugar or, you know, get out there and run more. I mean, even though it's kind of with but it's the idea of doctors prescribing biking and, Instagram, freaking social media companies taking a step into the effect their company or their
taking basically, responsibility, which
their
is,
product has on mental health. So it's these nice. Are steps in the right direction. And I think these are great kind of wellness topics that are really, I think, outside the box to a certain extent.
They're a little bit like they're trends that we see kind of coming up. We'll see if they continue to blossom. They continue to grow and become more mainstream. I would say that the idea of the social prescribing is still, I mean, obviously this is in the UK. It's not here in the States, really. You might get a kind of, what's your doctor called?
He's
called
functional medicine.
Functional. Mm-hmm. You'd have, next time you go to the doctor, you should ask him about this.
Yeah.
And get his perspective. But that in itself is something that's still all, like, really in its infancy, I feel like. And then social media and how that's going from this just wild, evolving, sort of just untamable beast that has just rampaged through our society and changed and affected so much with no real thought of accountability or responsibility to the people that they're supposed to be, like, cultivating and serving. I think those are still new ideas. They're new concepts. Hopefully, the idea of digital wellness and the whole holistic wellness is something that will continue to grow.
Yeah, and we'll continue to talk about it as the topics and the articles come about. We appreciate you guys listening this week. Once again, let us know what you think. And if you have any suggestions on maybe articles we should dive into or research, please let us know by contacting us. We got all our contact info in the outro, or leave us a rating review on the Apple Podcasts and, of course, the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page.
Yes.
Got anything else for them this week?
That's all, folks.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Hi.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, at the ATF Podcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks. Quibb's general practitioners with 6-month bike share memberships to adult. I just said shits.
I didn't even notice.